Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before you go, you will call on Lord and Lady Stark and offer your sympathies.
What good will my sympathies do then?
None, but it is expected of you. Your absence has already been noted.
The boy means nothing to me. Oh, I can't stand the wailing of women.
One word and I'll hit you again.
I'm telling Mother!
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Karen.
And I'm David.
And I'm Grace.
And I am Mr. Blog. And this is Game of Microphones, episode 1.
When Game of Thrones started, Karen actually said, let's do a Game of Thrones podcast. And I was like, I'm not quite ready. Let's just wait until Daenerys Targaryen crosses the Narrow Sea and then we'll go ahead and... or if winter comes, then we'll start one.
Whichever comes first. And then I tried to steal Karen away from you to do a Game of Thrones podcast on my own because I was drooling to do a podcast. And then you shot me down and invited me on your show, and all of this ensued. So,
well, we decided to start doing Game of Thrones episodes on my and Karen's Walking Dead podcast, the Walking Dead cast. So every year we do basically do an episode covering that season during the off season of Walking Dead. Well, it's time to do our own Game of Thrones podcast. I'm really excited about this. We're all huge fans, which you'll hear. And the idea is this: there's five of us here now, as you heard. But when we get started with the season, we're going to have a rotating cast. So I figured out that there are exactly 10 combinations of three different people. So you'll never have the same three hosts twice, but it'll be three hosts per podcast. But in this first episode, we're going to play that episode that we did way back. I think it was in 2012, where we kind of broadly covered season one and part of season two. And then in future podcasts leading up to season five, we'll play the ones that we did covering season three and season four. Before we get into that, I just wanted to quickly, we can each kind of say what our experience is with Game of Thrones, how we came to it, and what we like about it. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Cool.
This is Grace. My friend Stephanie, I'm a reader, and I was just looking for some new titles to read, something that would keep me busy for a while. And she's like, oh, there's this great series out there, Song of Ice and Fire. And I hear, you know, they might be doing a show. So I picked up the books, and lo and behold, like right on the cover, it said, you know, starting in April. And this was, you know, probably March or something like that. New show. So I stayed just a little ahead in season one of the show. I was reading, you know, just, so it was a cool experience. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't like the spoilers and that, but I felt like, you know, I had experienced this, you know, one time, you know, through the books. And so it was great to watch it play out. And because I watched them, you know, almost simultaneously, that the characters, you know, when I'm reading really look like, you know, the actors. So I don't know. It's fun.
It probably helps that there's, especially in the beginning, from what I understand, they're pretty close.
Oh, really close.
Yeah.
Really close. I mean, they've kind of condensed some characters and that, but it's really close.
That's cool. What about you, Karen?
So I was dating this guy, David, Wait a minute. You were dating some guy? When was that?
And he gave me a book that he said it was like one of his favorite books, and it was the very first of the Game of Thrones series. And so I picked it up and I read it, and it's freaking brilliant. And
before you saw the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
I read the whole thing before I saw the show. He kind of insisted. He's like, well, now that we know that there's going to be a show on HBO, you've got to read the books first. And I was like, that's never going to happen. I'm never going to get through all of the books first. I can, you know, I can make it through one, but not through. They're giant. So
they are giant. This is
yeah, true. I love the books. And then now I've fallen in love with the TV series too.
Cool. Eric?
Well, for me, I really just got on board with the HBO show, and I'm like, this is amazing. Oh my God. And somebody I worked with who had read all the books, he was really into it. So he was giving me a bunch of insight and a little tiny details. He started going on about, oh my God, the hound in his armor. He actually was wearing the dog head. It was amazing. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, huh? What? I didn't even notice that, you know? And I went back and I saw what he was talking about. I'm like, man, this is amazing. And then Mrs. Blog one day said, you know, like, what the fuck? I got so angry about that that I'm like, shit, I just got the biggest thing spoiled on me. I don't want that to happen again.
Well,
so,
we didn't warn anybody about spoilers for this episode. So.
If you have not seen that, we're talking about season one and two. If you do not know, come on, at this point, some spoilers, I guess. But at that point, I realized, okay.
So we promise from now on, we'll warn you, after we say spoilers, we'll warn you that we just said a spoiler.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted the smug satisfaction of knowing what was coming up before my wife could go to a Wikipedia page and spoil that for me, because she has not read one book, one word of the book. So I was like, oh, to hell with that. So I plowed through those first four books, and I finished right before the fifth book came out. I mean, within a day or two, maybe it was a couple days later. Actually, I think it was a couple days after the fifth book, A Dance with Dragons, came out that I caught up and got to that. So by the time, spoilers, I had already caught up to that point in the book, and I was able to have that smug satisfaction of knowing what happened, because that's what I live for.
I like that. That's very Game of Thrones. So basically, your entire motivation for reading these novels was revenge.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Oh, pure spite. Yeah, 100% pure spite. Yeah. It would only be, the only way that could be any better is that if she were my sister, you know. So.
And still your wife.
And you still slept
still
with
my
her.
Wife. Yeah. Of course, yeah. Two beautiful children from my sister. No.
A blog always pays his debts.
David, I think you're next on this list.
So I remember low back the summer of about 2002. It had been summer for about 6 years. No, just kidding. But I drove to Boston to visit some friends. I was living in Pittsburgh, PA, and my buddy gave me this book, and he said, these novels are unbelievable. You got to check this out. So I was driving back to Pittsburgh, which is about a 10-hour drive. And somewhere around 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting a bite to eat on the way back to somewhere in the middle of Pennsylvania at a restaurant they only have in that part of the country. It was probably a Bob's Big Boy or something like that. Oh, and I pulled out the book, and I'm sitting there eating my meal, and I read the first chapter of the first novel, and I said, holy crap, this is the greatest thing I've ever read. And I actually had a lot of time off that summer, so I went home and I spent about the next 3 weeks reading all three novels, which is all there were at that point, about 6 hours a day. And then I read them all again.
Wow. You've read them twice. That's an accomplishment. These books are
maybe three
difficult
times
to get through. Okay, wow. Well done. Well done.
Well, I haven't read any of the books, and I heard about the books from a friend who was really excited about the show coming on and decided to just start in with the show, and I totally fell in love with it. I love dark stuff. I love Breaking Bad. I love smart TV, and it just seems so rich. And I mean, you know, some shows I feel like maybe I could write a little storyline or a plot for, but Game of Thrones is so complicated, and also the world is so all-encompassing, and you know, everyone who's listening to me already knows all this, but I'm just telling you why I responded to it. It's such a it's such a fully realized world, and it's nice and dark and adult. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm a comic book guy. I love superheroes. I like the Avengers movies and all this stuff, but it's nice to watch a show that doesn't pull any punches and isn't afraid of sex. And, you know, it's just more adult. I love Sopranos and, like I said, Breaking Bad, and now Game of Thrones, and of course, Walking Dead. So it's one of my favorite shows. We're all super busy, but we're doing this podcast because we're huge fans of the show and of each other, too.
Definitely.
So with that, let's go ahead and move right into this. Is an episode, like I said, we did it a couple years ago, that this is right about 10 minutes after Karen and I first met Mr. Blog, but you would never know it. I listened back and it sounds like we'd been friends for ages, I thought.
Yep.
And I want to stress that this part is definitely just for people who have already seen seasons one and basically season two of Game of Thrones. So if you haven't seen those, you're not going to want to listen to this because it has spoilers. All right, let's get into it. Okay, let's get into our top fives here.
Okay.
Let's let the guest of honor go first.
Oh, dear. Okay. My first top five for Game of Thrones is tonal consistency. I was extremely pleased to see the second season begin with virtually the same tone as season one. I mean, as all shows, you know, can occasionally have that sophomore thing where they become very self-aware of the, hey, my show's a hit, and they're suddenly acting up in that way. The producers change production value. Something changes, and I felt between season one and season two, virtually nothing changed. Mm-hmm. So that's my number five.
I was worried that, again, let me reiterate, if you haven't seen the show, you probably don't want to listen to this because I'm going to give a huge spoiler right now. This is only for fans. But after Ned Stark got killed, he was such a huge part of season one. I was worried that it wasn't going to feel the same, you know, or it was going to feel like something was missing. And it's great. I still love it just as much. I mean, I love that character, and I'm glad they were brave enough to kill him off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's still good.
Well, yeah. And I mean, Sean Bean and Mark Addy, who is Robert Baratheon, I mean, those are two monumental actors. And it's just, how are they going to fill that? Now, granted, right. Peter Dinklage now has the top billing. And completely deserved. I mean, he was phenomenal in season one, and so far with season two.
So far, yeah.
A little Tyrion.
Peter Dinklage is one of my best friend Dan Wattman's cousin, by the way, which has nothing to do with anything.
What?
I thought I'd bring it up.
That's really, really cool. Wow. You just got about 2% cooler in my eyes.
Wow. I'm now 5% cool. Would you like to go next?
Yeah. Speaking of Peter Dinklage, I'm going to say he's actually my number one, but I'm going to put him as my number five because I just want to talk about him because I love him, love him, love him, love him. Tyrion, I think Tyrion Lannister is my favorite character. And this actor, Peter Dinklage, I've loved him since I saw him in The Station Agent. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that movie a lot. And he, you know, when I heard he was going to be in Game of Thrones, I thought, of course, he is Tyrion Lannister. And he steals every scene he's in. He is so charming and smart, and he brings he's sort of a little bit in pain, and he's just fantastic. And this last episode especially, I think it was episode 3, where they knitted together that little montage of him trying to find out who's going to betray him.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, giving away all the different flavors of secrets to see where the leaks are. It reminded me of when I used to work at Apple, kind of.
Who would betray you? And
you know, like,
and then did you throw them in the dungeon?
The next color of the iMac will be green. Oh, next boy. Color of the iMac will be blue.
No, they did such a brilliant job with those transitions where he was going from person to person, and it's just seamless and beautiful. Yeah. So wonderful. And I have to laugh. My first experience, I think, with Dinklage happened to be from Elf. So in my head,
he's good in that too.
In my head, he's always the angry little elf. He's always,
you didn't see that,
the South Pole elf.
It's, you know what? I have seen that. I didn't realize he was in it.
The most confident elf.
Yeah, it's
him. I did not realize that.
Was he a children's book writer? Was that Sorry, this is totally
I don't remember. Let's do the Elf podcast next week. Okay, can I go?
Oh, yeah.
My number five is incest, which I think is really a big part of Game of Thrones.
Twincest.
One of the first scenes in the first season is twincest, which was quite shocking. From what I understand in the books, is it considered a little more normal for brothers and sisters to hook up?
The Targaryens.
Oh, just the Targaryens.
The Targaryens are... like all royal families, you know, they like to keep it close, and they do.
So it's
that.
Normal
that was
in their
Targaryen
culture. Oh, okay,
but not normal for everybody else. I mean, with season two with Craster and
right and all his daughters,
yeah, wives.
Yuck.
Okay, because everybody seems pretty disgusted with it, and then you even have this weirdness with
Than
and his sister. I mean, she's kind of just messing with him, but she does seem to kind of get into it a little bit.
Okay, I'm going to do my best never to get into those. Keep saying in the book. But on this one, I want to just
It's interesting to get
it is
the
funny because
book's perspective.
In the book, she plays him up so much more. I mean, she says she's somebody else. I mean, she makes up a whole story for
just
herself.
Just humiliates him, right?
She undoes his laces on his britches and grabs his junk there. And it's
he was the aggressor in this one, pretty much. One, yeah. She.
Oh, yeah.
And her name is Asha in the book, as opposed to Yara, which is very annoying to me.
David was annoyed too.
I guess there's a character named Osha.
Osha, yeah.
That's why they did that.
That's so Tonks.
Wouldn't get confused between the two.
That's a good point.
Am I done with that point?
Incest?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot to say about it, but you guys pretty much said it all. I mean, oh yeah, okay, here. I thought it was interesting that the very first, or the whole season, it was about, oh my gosh, Joffrey's actually, you know, the child of incest, and nobody knows. And, you know, he's going to be king, and nobody knows this, and it would totally prevent him. But now he already is king, and then the very first episode, everybody knows suddenly. I mean, it's not confirmed, but I think everybody pretty much realizes it's true.
Well, Stannis wrote a letter, sent it out by Raven, and everybody got it.
And I actually thought that was cool that they switched it over like that. And Tyrion said in episode 3, power resides where men believe it resides. So now that he's finally claimed the throne, it's much harder to wrest it away from him, you know, even though this knowledge came out. But I do think that, I guess the knowledge coming out did have a huge effect because it sort of galvanizes anybody else who might have a claim to the throne, which looks like that's what this season is about. All these people from all different corners kind of gearing up to
do something about it. There's a lot of would-be kings. Yeah.
And all of this makes sense because George R. R. Martin is actually dating his own sister, and most people don't realize that.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just kidding.
Poor George R. R. Martin.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for the author's life. Yeah, that's all I have to say about it. So. for now.
All right, my number four, strong female characters. In the first season, we had quite a few, but it was very much a man's game in the first season. This season, we got Melisandre, we've got Asha, we've got Brienne, we've got Marjorie. Whereas we had Cersei, who was the one woman with power in the first season, we've seen how she blew it. We now have all these ridiculously strong characters coming into this one who are proving themselves to be equally, if not more, manipulative than all the other men.
Yes.
I mean, on one hand, you had Ned Stark, who is the most honorable yet most stupid individual
most
in Westeros. Most dead, absolutely. Well, I don't know about most. There are a lot. I think the ones that are coming back to life, and those are maybe more undead. I don't know. but the women in this season have really stepped it up.
Yeah.
Melisandre doing what she's doing with Stannis in terms of influencing him by getting rid of his gods in favor of her one
god. Is that how you pronounce it?
It's as far as how I'm pronouncing
it. Thank you.
She's obviously very powerful.
Okay, now here's the other reason why I wanted to have a Game of Thrones podcast was simply to go over how to pronounce some of these names. When you're reading it or even when you hear it on the show, I'm like, what?
Huh?
And then you got the audiobook guy who pronounces names, even like Peter Baelish, he pronounces it Petire. Brienne is Brienne. I mean,
oh, it's Brienne.
Yeah, exactly.
So they pronounce it differently in the audiobook than they do on the show sometimes.
Yeah, but no.
And I guess we can just say it however we want.
That's exactly how I feel about it. But Brienne in particular.
She's wonderful.
She is a fan favorite.
She's the one who's phenomenal. Like the really tall, blonde Amazon who is a badass fighter in armor. And she's the one who comes up before Renly and takes off her helmet. And there she is. And you can tell Cersei loved her too. As they were walking back, and she tells Cersei, "Oh no, sorry, not Cersei. Catelyn. I'm no lady. I mean, you can tell she loves that.
Love that line.
She reminds her of Anya. I mean, that's kind of Anya. She's the same kind of badass. Arya. I'm sorry, Arya.
And Arya's another great female character. I mean,
and
there you go.
Arya's another great female character who's, you know, you can tell she's got potential. And she was amazing in this last episode. Yeah. She helped save...
Gendry.
I'm just going to point to you from now on.
Well, even... Even with Sansa, the one who everybody hated in season one, and even
she's
reading this book, when she drove me nuts in season one. She drove everybody nuts in season one. Her dad's head gets lopped off, and suddenly she now has this, I don't know, medieval PTSD going on, and she's playing it off just fantastically.
But I have the feeling that, I mean, I do feel very sorry for her, and she looks like she's suffering. But also, she sort of dug her own grave in a way. I mean, she really went for Joffrey when it should have been apparent that he was a slime ball. And, I mean, I don't think that she deserves what she's getting, but I'm also, I mean, she did, it is a bit of karma going on there.
She was blinded by his blonde, inbred good looks. do you remember the point where she was about to shove him off the castle wall, Joffrey off the castle wall, and the mountain pulled her back in?
The Hound.
Thank you, the Hound.
That was actually, if they did not get picked up for a second season, there was going to be an alternate take where she pushed him off with her. And that would have been the end of the season.
Wow.
That was arranged in advance. But fortunately, that didn't happen, and we get to have the beginning now of...
This show, I've been listening to this podcast where they interview screenwriters, and mostly it's TV writers, and they haven't interviewed anybody from Game of Thrones, but they always ask them... They've interviewed Damon Lindelof from Lost, you know, all these really big ones.
What's the podcast?
Vince Neil from... not Vince Neil.
from Motley Crue.
Motley Crue,
What's that guy's name from Breaking Bad, the head showrunner?
Vince Gilligan.
And every time they ask him what shows they're watching, they say Breaking Bad, but they also say Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yeah.
It's called the Nerdist Writers Panel.
Oh, yes, I listened to the Nerdist.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, it's a different... It's not the Nerdist, it's the Nerdist Writers Panel. It's a separate... It's just where they interview writers.
By the way, did Chris Hardwick ever take you?
No, not yet. I don't know. His loss.
Totally.
I might try again, but I also wanted to mention about Tyrion. One thing that interests me about him is that the Lannisters, to me, they kind of seem like the bad guys, except for him. He doesn't quite fit in, you know, because I root for him, and the rest of them I want to see deposed. I wonder, will that bear out, or will he start? I mean, he does want to save his family, I guess, but you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like a different, like...
And Mr. Blog knows the answer, but he ain't saying.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just wanted
to point
that out.
Yeah, that is a really good point. I root against the Lannisters, for sure. Can't stand
him,
that
right?
family, but not him. Mm-hmm. I love him. Yeah.
I just want him and his prostitute to be really happy.
Shay. We love Shay. She's not a prostitute, though.
She's a courtesan, right?
Shay is a German adult film actress of Turkish descent. You can see her other videos online if...
Sure, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Let me fire up the Safari right now. No, I'm just kidding.
By the way.
We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Bathroom break.
Okay, we should go. We should.
My number three.
Get to the next one.
My number three is also.
Wait. Is it your turn?
We're on number four.
My number four.
Is it your turn?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
We're going in a circle, pal. is also the strong female characters of the season. It was. But and I just want to mention a couple that we didn't have time for. I wanted to mention Renly's wife of a couple weeks, who he has not touched.
Yeah.
Marjorie. Is that how we pronounce her name? Marjorie.
Yeah.
Let's call her Marjorie.
Margie.
She played Anne Boleyn in the Tudors, and she is hot.
She's hot.
Oh my God, there's so many hotties on this show. I was listening to the radio the other day, and one of these radio DJs was saying that he listens with, or he watches Game of Thrones with his mom.
Oh God.
Good Lord. I can barely watch it with my husband. I sit there blushing.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So I thought she was great. Shay, the, let's call her girlfriend.
Daenerys, of course.
Daenerys.
Oh, we forgot all about Daenerys.
Right,
yeah.
She is a wonderful, strong character, can apparently withstand fire, no problem, and hatches dragons. I mean, there are so many strong women in this series. It's just fantastic. And Arya has got to be my favorite. She's so cute. And, you know, she's got her little sword. And, you know, she has a name for her sword. I don't know if you know this. It's Needle. And they all have, you know, their wolves, their dire wolves, and they just make me so happy. Even Cersei Lannister, we don't like her, but she's a strong character.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't deny it. They are all fantastic. So bravo, George R.R. Martin, for writing a series with all these wonderful female characters.
Hear, hear.
My number four is Joffrey. You know, there's certain characters that you love to hate, and there's certain characters you just don't like seeing. All throughout season one, every time he came on the screen, I was just like, that little weasel, get him out of there. But something shifted for some reason this season. He's still acting the same. I think it's because he succeeded in getting the throne, and I've accepted that Ned Stark is gone. And now I feel like I just want to see him just go to the extreme, kind of like I was feeling about Lori, where people hate Lori because she told Rick to kill Shane and then she got mad at him when he did it. And I'm like, yeah, just keep doing more fucked up stuff like that. It's entertaining. And I feel the same way about Joffrey now. I'm like, yeah, just keep laughing at people who are in pain and ordering babies to be killed, and, you know, just keep on doing it. And then I'll relish it all the more when somebody kills your ass.
The 1,000-year reign of Joffrey the Kind.
The actor does such a great job of just being a total asshole.
Weasel. He's a total weasel-y.
Yes. He's so good at just with a look. He doesn't even have to say anything.
I do refer to him now as Hollywood's the second most slappable face in Hollywood.
Oh, have you seen
Wait, let's guess who number one is. No, I don't know. Brad Pitt. No,
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that guy.
Have you seen the YouTube video of somebody put together, it was a Led Zeppelin song, and it's of him getting slapped by Peter Dinklage. Yeah, 10 minutes.
Nice. 10 minutes of the
Joffrey getting awesome. Slapped. So, which song was it? There's a Led Zeppelin song. Anyway, it's the best.
His name is Jack Gleason, by the way, the actor.
Bravo, Jack Gleason. We want more. Bring it on.
Okay, number three.
My number three is The Greyjoys. I've been waiting for The Greyjoys to show up, and they did not disappoint. The casting for Baelon is perfect. Asha is wonderful. Again, in the book, I have a thing for her. She's just...
She's a badass.
Raunchy and nasty.
You really don't want to call her Yara, do you? Or whatever.
I just did it again. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. Yara. Sorry. Yeah, I have a hard time with that. I really do. Mm-hmm. But yes, Yara. And even the person who baptized Theon, his name is Dampair. I think it's Aemon Dampair or something. He's an uncle to Theon. So to see them just and to get more of Theon's story fleshed out is such a wonderful thing. A lot of fans were confused as to why they spent so much time with him in the first season, because there isn't that much in the books about Theon. He's a relatively minor character at that point. And now it's paying off as to why they spent so much time. And now he's has this wonderful conflict going on where, you know, he feels very close to the Starks, yet he is a Greyjoy and he doesn't fit into either one of those. And it is becoming very sympathetic for Theon. And at the same time, he's an asshole.
His dad gave him away. It was really disappointing to see him write that letter to Rob and then to burn it. And I was thinking, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They gave you away. Where's your loyalty?
They do that on the show a lot where you go, don't do that. God.
Oh, yeah. No.
So much tension, dramatic tension, Shakespearean tragedy kind of thing.
And his story arc is by far one of the greatest ones in this entire series.
Really?
I'm a big fan. A lot of people do not like the Greyjoys. A lot of people do not like Than. I even like him just because he's Alfie Allen, and I dug the song Alfie by Lily Allen. Whatever. But it's...
Now that these big, heavy-hitting actors are dead, these young guys are going to have to take over and carry the heft. And I think they're doing pretty well. Not as good as Sean Bean, I don't think. But they're doing better than I feared they might.
I disagree.
You think he's good, as good as Sean Bean?
Oh, my God. I love him. I love him. I love Robb Stark. I love Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're all good.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just wondering whether or not Alfie Allen has a clause in his contract that he gets all the sexploitation where he's going to sit there and explain the whole story out while he's having sex with either the prostitute or the ship girl or his sister or somebody else.
That's right, he did that.
Always. This guy is if you want Naked Man, he's your guy to go to. And
I was in
he's got a hot little rig.
Taming of the Shrew when I was in college. And I played Lucentio, who woos the prettier daughter, Bianca. And the director was a dirty old man, so he had me like grabbing breast and just, you know, he's like, you got to really squeeze it. I can tell you're not doing it very hard like that, right? And so, and this, there were two casts, but I was the same character in both casts. So there were two Biancas, and one of the Biancas' boyfriends would come and watch the rehearsals and just like sit there with his glare, right? And the other character, my name was Lucentio, but the other actors would call me Lucky. Lucky. You know? Pretty hilarious. I think this show is pretty, I haven't thought about it before, but it is actually kind of Shakespearean, don't you think?
Very.
Yeah.
Well, it is also based off of The War of the Roses.
The War of the Roses.
You got the Lancasters and the Yorks, and it's based off of that. So.
Yep. It's probably not going to end well. That's my prediction.
I think they're going to get stormed by zombies.
Well, there's a good likelihood of that. There is a 6-word review of the entire series, and it is bad things happen and everybody dies.
So. Okay, I think it's your turn, number 3.
I think it is my turn. And since you mentioned zombies, and since we do have a zombie podcast, mm-hmm. I thought I would mention my number 3, which is zombies.
Yay.
Basically, but they're not called zombies. They're called White Walkers, and we've seen them.
Sort of.
No, we've seen them.
People get confused, I read, and I was like, oh, I'm actually confused too.
Now, okay, well then please.
The White Walkers are creatures. I want to be the one to explain this, can I? Yeah, and then please. You can tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
There are these mysterious creatures who animate corpses, and the corpses are called whites, and they're the actual zombies.
Correct.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Although, well, the White Walkers is a name made up for the show. In the books, and you guys are going to enjoy this one, they're actually called the Others. But they decided to avoid confusion because everybody thought Ben Linus would come walking out. and that would be very confusing.
but great, because we love Ben Linus. Yeah. yeah, I love it. I love the fact that there are these creatures, and we've seen one or two.
Yeah.
We've seen a couple, but winter's coming, man. And there's a and there's a reason why that wall was built. And everybody seems to have forgotten why that wall was built. But we're going to get, I think, a reminder soon.
I don't know. To me, winter's coming reminds me of Glenn Mazzara saying T-Dog's going to get lines. Because the very first episode was called Winter's Coming, and winter has not come.
Well, summer's been going on for 9 years.
Yeah.
So
it takes a while. Have you seen poor Jon Snow? That guy looks cold.
Yeah.
That whole group of them.
That's
like,
summer. Okay. My number 3 is just how unexpected things are that happen in this show. I loved it. When Ned Stark died, I was completely spoiler free, and I didn't realize it was going to happen until like 3 seconds before. And I was like, holy fuck, they're actually going to do it. And my heart dropped, and then the axe dropped.
Yeah.
But I was happy, you know, I'm glad they do stuff like that. Like stuff that bothers me even, I'm glad they do it because it's unexpected. Like Daenerys, so far, she's had no contact with any of the other main players of the show, and it's already like a season and a half in, and I feel a little urgent. Like, I want them to hurry up and get her involved in the main part of the story, and it feels a little different to me that they do keep her out there. Like, it seems like most shows would want to mix them all up, but on the other hand, because it's different, I like it. And, you know, a queen fucking her brother, that's pretty unexpected. So it's just like I'm to the point where I feel like I don't know what's going to happen. And I like that feeling a lot. And I don't know who's going to live or die. I do think Daenerys eventually will reach everybody else and try to conquer or whatever.
Are you going to read the books when this is over?
Probably not, because I have a low attention span.
I think you'd really like them. They're great.
Yeah, I might give it a shot. Actually, I heard the fourth and fifth one were not as good.
The fourth one, yeah, I'd say the fourth one is not quite as good. The fifth one I've enjoyed
a good
lot. But the first three are, the second is fantastic, the third is by far my favorite, I think.
Cool. Most, and the fifth one you've liked.
I like the fifth. Liked. No, cool. I really enjoyed the fifth.
You are good. You I think David would absolutely agree with you.
The fourth one is just difficult because he was writing one giant book and he had to split it. So he took certain characters
and they don't appear.
And they don't appear. Some do, yeah. So, I mean, okay.
Sort of like Lord of the Rings.
You know,
exactly like Lord of the Rings.
And David said that it's as if his, when you're in publishing, you have somebody who is your
editor.
Editor, right. Mm. It's as if his editor kind of just threw up his or her hands and said, yeah, you know what? Whatever you want to put in there, go ahead and put it. And it's, you know, a lot of that could have been edited down is what I've heard.
I have a feeling they will work it out for the show and make it good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I know book three is going to be split into two seasons.
Oh, really? Okay.
And there is a very...
So it's not going to be a seven season show then?
No, it'll probably be a billion seasons. I don't know how long they're going to go. But they have said they're going to go as long as Martin wants to keep writing.
How successful is this series, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
The books?
Or the show? HBO show.
Very.
Yeah.
For
an HBO show, yes, yeah.
For
right.
It's critically acclaimed. It's got, I mean, I don't know the ratings, but I know it's critically acclaimed and it has popular buzz. And I think I read that it's got high ratings for an HBO show, right?
It was about 3.5 million, something about that. I mean, nowhere close to the 9 or 10 million of...
No, but it's a pay. You have to pay extra.
You have to pay for it.
Yeah. Right.
And it's more, I think, than Sopranos, I think. Or yes, no? I'm not sure about that,
That's a hard
actually.
Call. I'm not sure about that one either.
Okay, shall we move on?
Yes.
Number two.
I'm going to go... my number two is Tyrion's wit and his one-liners. Like we were saying before, I mean, that guy has some of the best one-liners. The first episode of the season was what something was her best quality, and your cheekbones. I mean, he throws these little things out, these little bon mots. Yeah. I love them all. He's such a... We've already gone over the Tyrion thing. He's such a phenomenal character. He's just hilarious, and this guy delivers his lines like nobody else. They're wonderful. Love that guy.
He won the Golden Globe last year.
Yeah, and the Emmy.
Oh, did he really? And the Emmy too. Yeah, yeah, he totally deserved it.
So he's probably walking around, you know, the set, going, "Look at this, bitches."
Yeah, they're like, "You better." They're like, "You better live up to that."
He's earning his prostitutes.
He's a nice family guy, and I think he lives in New York. There was just a profile of him a couple weeks ago in the New York Times. He just seems like the nicest guy. I would love to go out and have a beer with him. Peter Dinklage, if you're listening to us, let's have a beer. Just saying.
Yeah, we should start trying to have beers with people, not just interviewing them.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, your turn.
Okay. I'm going to have to say that my number two, are we in?
Two, yeah.
Is the cinematography. Mm. I think that this series is ridiculously well done looks wise. It's gorgeous. Last year the wall was fantastic. The sky cells, the jail cells, where if you roll in your sleep you're gonna fall a bazillion feet down to your death. The wall was beautiful. Everything about it was gorgeous. And this year they're I guess in Iceland or Greenland.
Iceland.
And they're also in Croatia. It's beautiful. Everything about this series is eye candy.
And the budget is obviously high enough that they can do great costuming and just everything looks lush and beautiful.
Right.
Gracie Liu said she wishes Walking Dead had Game of Thrones budget.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular.
Mm-hmm. When they got an extra 15% for this season.
Oh, yeah.
Above
nice. Did they really?
So, yeah. Because it did so well.
Well, there's... Yes, for that reason and something that is upcoming, they're going to need
I see.
A larger
the
budget.
Dragons. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
the dragons are badass. By the way, let me ask you, Mr. Blog, since you read the books, does it look like what you thought it would look like?
Oh, God, yeah. Perfect. No, absolutely perfect. I mean, one of it's stunning. I mean, how close to everything that I'd imagined it would be, it is. Humorously enough, season one, a lot of the sets they used came from that movie Your Highness with James Franco.
I don't know that movie, but I didn't know they reused sets.
Really?
They reused sets.
Wow.
I think Castle Black and Winterfell, a lot of those scenes were from that movie Your Highness.
Good, whatever it takes. Okay, my turn, right?
Yeah.
You talked about tone, and I just love the tone of the show, that it's dark and tense and kind of twisted and dangerous. You always feel like everybody's in danger and anybody could turn on anybody at any time. It has this kind of a, I don't know, like earthy, twisted
feel, like the scene with Melisandre where Stannis's aide was willing to kill himself with poison just to get her to drink the poison and get rid of her. And she knew exactly what was going on, and she let him drink it. And then she didn't even have to drink it, but I think she did it just to show him right before he died how powerful she was. Like, ha ha ha, sucker.
She chugged that one. Yeah. Down.
And stuff like that. It's like people just grinding in the knife in people's back. Joffrey's like happy whenever anybody's in pain. And Sansa has to sit there and say that, you know, her father was a traitor and
at the
all
breakfast
this stuff.
Table, she's probably
and
thinking,
it's okay to
really?
Kill her brother.
At the freaking breakfast table, I have to say this shit.
And then even when, like, when Cersei slapped Joffrey, you because of all the tension that is generated by the show, you think, wow, he could just stab her right now or choke her to death or whatever. And he didn't, but it's like so pregnant with possibility.
Anything can happen. Yeah. Absolutely. And he was pissed at that, by the
way. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
He's good at being pissed.
Well, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why so many Walking Dead fans do love Game of Thrones as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing with
it
Walking
is,
Dead. Or at least
anybody
it
can
should
die.
Be the same thing with Walking Dead. They prove that at the end of the second season.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, they are bringing more of that flavor into The Walking Dead. And I think Glenn Mazzara is a big part of that because he loves edgy stuff.
Yeah, no, agree.
Okay, number one.
My number one for Game of Thrones. Wait, what was it? I forgot now. Oh, yes. they give fan service without ever compromising quality. I mean, from the beginning, from the very first episode, there were certain little things that are in the background leading up to Winterfell. I mean, you see the Hound, you see his helmet, you know that's him. At the beginning of this season with episode one, when Melisandre is chugging that wine, you may not have noticed, but the ruby on her around her neck starts glowing. Just slightly. Most people wouldn't notice it, but a fan of the book absolutely would. Sir Dantos, the guy who's getting the beer funnel, the wine funnel there at the beginning of the episode, wearing Captain America. He is somebody who will be showing up again. I mean, there are all these people in here, whether they have a line or not. The fact that they put it in here, Lommy Greenhands, for instance, one of the three young kids with Arya. There's a little chubby kid. His name is Hot Pie. Yeah. And then the blonde kid that had a needle through his throat this last episode.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed or not, but his hands are green.
Mm-mm.
And they only show him just very briefly.
And then he's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah.
But he dyed clothes. So his hands were always permanently green. It doesn't matter to the story. It doesn't matter to the show. But they put that in there.
There's a lot of care.
Because they love the fans.
Because they love the fans. And it shows. But never sacrificing quality. I mean, they never stop to say, look at me, my hands are green. I'm going to be green. They don't do it. They're not doing that. You
and
know?
Sometimes, sometimes, like, did you see the Green Lantern movie?
Oh, God, yeah.
Recently. Yeah, and that was seemed like the kind of an example of a movie where the fan service killed it.
Yeah.
They took it overboard to where a person watching it who didn't know the books wouldn't care or know what was going on.
And that you have a good adaptation versus a bad adaptation.
Right, and yeah, I agree. Game of Thrones, I mean, I didn't know that stuff, but hearing it just makes you feel like, oh, yeah, there's a confident hand guiding this, and they go ahead and put in all the details, and they love the story and all that.
Yeah, they are. And it's a wonderful thing that they're doing. I mean, again, they are changing certain things, but I've never even seen a show or movie with such a loyal fan following that when they make major changes, everybody's sitting around going, yeah, all right, that works. You know, there's no backlash to it. And I think it's because they understand the material. They care about the material.
How involved is George R.R. Martin?
I was just about to ask that.
He is, okay.
Yeah, he's very
involved. That's a good sign, too.
Oh, that is good.
I mean, he wrote, I think, episode 8 of season 1. I know he's going to be, I think it's episode 9 or 8, he's going to be writing of this season as well. So he is very involved. And have you guys seen the SNL clip from last week?
No.
Take a look at this thing. Basically, it's they say, you know, the two people behind Game of Thrones is George R.R. Martin and a 13-year-old boy. You need to see this. I'm probably going to post it on the show.
Yeah, send me a link and I'll link it in the notes. It's similar to Kirkman working on Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've heard him say is, oh, yeah, working on a show is different than a comic because with the comic, you can just come up with an idea and you put it down and that's that. But with a show, you come up with an idea and then you have a bunch of people saying, well, what about this and what about that and why would it be this way? And then he goes, and then you end up with a better idea. And then he's like, sometimes. And I really think that Kirkman is learning that maybe it's not always like that. And that he needs to absurd himself sometimes, you know?
CDC.
yeah. Exactly.
I like the CDC.
Okay. I like the CDC as an institution, but as a plot device, not so much.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's your turn.
It's my turn. Okay. I like the fact that this is a really challenging series. And what I mean is there are a lot of characters. They're hard to keep track of. And I love trying to keep it all straight. It's super fun. I enjoy trying to figure out all of the little riddles as they come up in the series.
You feel smarter when you get it, or I do.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, absolutely.
I remember him.
Oh, wait, I figured that out. So-and-so's
bastard son.
I know why he did that. Yeah, often I don't.
Do you have David?
But I have David, thank God.
But that, you know, okay, so just to address that, the New York Times recently wrote right before season two started, they wrote a little piece on asking the question, is Game of Thrones too complicated to enjoy? I don't agree with that. And I think what that's saying is, you know, is it too much to ask people to pay attention now?
Right.
To not be doing three things at once, but to actually watch one show, pay attention. They're not going to give you every answer right away. They're not going to spell it out for you. And like many of our other favorite shows, whether it's Lost or The Walking Dead,
The Sopranos,
sometimes you just have to wait, but the answers will probably come.
Right.
This is not a sloppy story. This is very well put together, and you have to give people the trust that they know what they're doing.
Absolutely. And even when the answers don't come, I think it's okay to come up not spell it out all the time. That's fine too.
And this is one of the great just that with all the cable TV, the rise of cable TV, it has allowed these adult shows to come on that don't insult our intelligence, you know? And I love it. I love AMC and HBO and all the great TV that's come since then. Now TV, you could argue, is better than the movies. And it didn't used to be that way. No actors wanted to work in TV before, but now you get all these big actors wanting
to
do these shows.
So great. I mean, Breaking Bad, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think Breaking Bad is the smartest, best show maybe ever in the history of television. It's so good. And they don't spoon feed you the answers. Right. They make you work, and I like it.
Okay, my number one is that this show is so easy to understand. No, I'm just kidding. And I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm just kidding. My number one is the supernatural that is around the edges of things. I like that it's been a long time since there's been dragons and magic and people to the point where everybody thinks it's just a myth and they don't believe in the White Walkers anymore.
Right.
But we're seeing just the beginnings of it, and it makes me hungry for more, and I hope that there is a lot more to come. But I like being kind of teased with it, you know, and they're kind of holding off. And I hope that I hope it does come. I want to see a swarm of zombies bust through that wall at some point. And I want to see more overt magic at some point. But if it happens in season six, I'm okay with that if there's like a slow build to it.
Well, it was a wonderful little tease in this last episode where Maester Luwin, it makes it very clear. Magic is gone. There are no giants. No dragons.
No magic.
It was wonderful. I thought that was like, all right, buddy.
Yeah.
Actually, there's gonna be.
And the my favorite are the White Walkers and the zombies, of course. But the thing about this series that gets me is the very first scene shows those White Walkers. And I'm like, wow, I'm really gonna like this show. And then you hardly ever see them again. I'm like, oh, it's about power struggles and crap like that.
And boobs.
And boob, that's true. That helps make up for it.
Well, so, I mean, that first episode, yeah, had zombies, three beheadings, and I don't know if there were boobs or not, but
of course there were boobs.
Oh, Danny, you're right. I'm sorry. Yes, they were there with her brother fondling her. So, but they're Targaryens. That's how they roll. So I forgot about that incest. Yeah, there's a lot. My God. Everybody in Westeros has two heads and, I don't know, three chromosomes. They're all messed up.
All right. That's it. We'll take a little break. There's more to come. Stay with us.
And we'll never be royals. It's a running out of blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
All right, we're back in 2015, and it's time for the latest news about Game of Thrones. Grace?
Okay. The first item on our list is, it's from VanityFair.com. About a week and a half ago, the showrunners Dan Weiss and David Benioff confirmed that the show will spoil the books. You know, a lot of us that follow the books know that this was a huge possibility, and they did too. Here's a quote from Benioff. Luckily, we've been talking about this with George for a long time, ever since we saw that this could happen, and we know where things are heading. And so we'll eventually, basically, meet up at pretty much the same place where George is going. There might be a few deviations along the route, but we're heading towards the same destination. I kind of wish that there were some things we didn't have to spoil, but we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. The show must go on, and that's what we're going to do.
I mean, it seems only fair, because if it was the other way around, then the books would be spoiling the show. So one of them's going to have to spoil the other one. So, I mean, at first when I heard that, I was like, oh, that is a real shame. But it's sort of like, well, it's got to be one way or the other. And I don't want the show to have to stop or something, you know?
Oh, yeah. Then the actors would just keep getting older, and it'd be another 15 years before it was finished.
And then I'll get other jobs.
So just to be clear about this, though, so George R. R. Martin has told them what's going to happen, and that's what they're carrying out?
Yes.
Yes, from the very beginning, he has told them. I remember hearing that, you know, back in season one, that he has mapped out everything for them from the very beginning.
So am I speaking for all Game of Thrones fans here of the novels, as I just say, if he knows what's going to happen, why can't he just write it down?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, with his response from this, you know, he seemed pretty unfazed by the pressure to finish this latest book that, you know, I think was supposed to be out this year, you know, once again, it's been pushed off.
2014. Yeah, it's just been 2014.
His statement was, you know, 50 years from now, nobody's going to care how frequently the books came out. Now, they'll care if the books are as good as they can possibly be and if the books stand the test of time. That's what I struggle with as I write. So that was his answer to that, David.
That's a good point.
We're not going to be alive.
He's not very good at predicting. Like, didn't this start off as a trilogy? I don't have a lot of confidence that his books are going to follow the show. I think it's going to be a 10-book series, and he's going to go way off.
I think he has always said that there were seven gods, seven kingdoms, seven books.
No, The only thing I've heard him lament
is that it was – he could have had five kingdoms.
He hasn't always said that, I don't think. I think he said once he decided it was going to be a 7-book series. He's like, well, there's seven gods, so –
Whatever works. We still love these things.
Yeah, I mean,
if he wanted to do 9 or 10, I'd be happy with that.
As long as he could finish it
and write them. And of course, you know, there's been all that speculation that he's, you know, I hate to say this because he's given everybody the finger for saving this. Literally, he's given everybody the finger for saying,
I don't blame him.
Oh my God, you might die before you finish these because he is getting up in age and all he does is blog about food and you get a little worried about that. But I have
Does he blog about food?
All the time. And if you read the books, you realize about a third of all of the books have to do about food, usually pigeon pie or lamprey pie or some horrible thing you do not want to eat. I think honey roasted dog might be in there, something like that. But Yeah, he likes his food. So there was some concern about him finishing these books. And yeah, like Grace just said, from the get-go, he told D&D, that's David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, about, or I might have that confused, excuse me, about where it is all going to end and where it's going to go. We already, book readers have already been slightly spoiled in the last season, season four. So, you know, it's the natural way of things are going to go. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to losing that smug sense of self-satisfaction about knowing what's going to come next.
If these novels keep increasing in length at the rate they are increasing, the next one is going to be, remember the book that Ned Stark borrowed from Grand Maester Pycelle that had all the families in it, and it looked like it weighed about 30 pounds?
That's
the next novel is going to be like
that. Yes, and it'll be giant size. It'll be about the size of a table and, you know, just as thick, probably.
I'm afraid. is the next book going to have pictures in it? That's the only way I can read it now.
They are doing
it. I wonder if they're going to do like a comic based on Game of Thrones.
They have been, and it's really shitty.
Oh, really?
I haven't checked it out.
Chuck Palahniuk just decided to do Fight Club 2 as a comic, which I've...
The guys at my comic shop say they've seen the preview copy, and they say it's awesome.
I can't wait to
see
that.
They really liked it, so I'm going to pick that up as well.
Okay, we ready for the next item?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, this one's from Huffington Post. Game of Thrones showrunners D.B. Weiss and David Benioff have said that they envision their HBO series ending after 7 seasons, which would be fitting. However, HBO has an appetite for even more Westeros. But they don't agree. They said, we want to go out on our absolute highest note. You know, we basically know how many hours are left in the story. We don't want to add, you know, 10 more hours to that. You know, it's about finding that sweet spot so it works. And, you know, for HBO and for them and most of all the audience, they say. And I agree. I hate when shows go on past when they should have ended.
Yep.
Like Walking Dead will.
Probably.
I was thinking Simpsons, but Walking Dead could go there as well. For some reason, this is now leading. I just want to quickly, before we started recording, we were talking about what are Game of Thrones fans called. And, you know, we looked at other things and what other fandoms are called and this and that. And the one thing I found that I think is the best one was Throners.
It sounds like throbbing boners put together.
Look, could that be more fitting for this show? No, I don't think so.
It would.
There's a lot of boning.
There's a lot of boning, many boners aplenty. I mean, you know, so I say I'm fans. What do you say? Are we throners or what?
I think you're a throner.
I've got a major throner right now. Absolutely. I love it. Sorry to derail that with throner talk. Go ahead, Grace.
The last little item I wanted to mention is one that I think Jason mentioned on the Walking Dead cast, I want to say. Is that where it came from?
What was it?
But I just wanted to tell people who maybe didn't hear that, but HBO has a new standalone streaming service called HBO Now, and it's going to provide instant access to, you know, every episode of every season of Game of Thrones and their other shows. And you can get a 30-day free trial if you want to try that. I think the regular price is going to be about $14.99 a month, and you can get it on your iOS devices and everything too. I think right now it's just in the States, but they're going to try to expand it. So I think that's a really good option because I got a HBO package just for Game of Thrones, you know, way back when. And so if you get like the 30-day free trial, and then you like add on another couple months, and then you take it off until the next year.
Yeah, there's no contract, so you can just cancel anytime you want. And I'm pretty sure you get to watch it, you know, the same night everyone else does, the new episodes.
I got to say, I'm amazed with HBO that they've actually encouraged people to use their HBO Go account, like share your HBO Go account with other people. They don't seem to care about whether or not you're actually paying for the service or not. And the fact that they're doing this at $15 a month, that's way cheaper than what you're going to get buying your basic cable bundle and all this kind of crap. So it's, that's an amazing thing. And with that, I mean, you're going to get The Sopranos. You're going to get some girls, some amazing shows for $15 a month. That's really cool. We are not shills for HBO. I just got to throw that out there. They are not sponsoring this in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, damn, we made that disclaimer before on our other podcast, too.
When we shilled for some other service. Yeah, Jenny's my wife. She's like, yeah, let's get it. She wants to support. You know, it's actually brave of HBO to do this because, you know, the cable companies that have been their bread and butter don't like it, but they're jumping in with both feet. So I hope it works out for them.
And I love the fact that HBO has kind of given a big double middle finger to all those cable providers. Like, no, screw you, man. We rule. You know, yeah, we can do whatever we want to. Sorry,
Dan. And it's because of this
good thing
show.
We don't know anybody that works for one of those cable providers.
Yeah, sorry about that.
David's gonna be begging on the streets. Flea bottom.
I don't think David's so.
Come on, man. I gotta pay for all the Skype equipment.
David's all, don't
throw all the Skype equipment. Yeah.
Let's move to the next item.
That's all I have, right?
Oh, that's it. Okay, awesome.
It's on the agenda.
Well, I mean, bottom line news, the thing we're most excited about is April 12th, in less than 2 weeks, Game of Thrones is starting again.
Yeah.
Season 5 Ooh. Begins, and that's what, you know, we're gearing up for this. And I'm excited. It's kind of funny how I almost lose the passion for it for a while because I don't want to get, you know, you don't want to sit there waiting.
You don't want a half a throner all year long.
No, you don't want a half a throner. You want a full throner. So you're waiting.
That's dangerous. Waiting.
And it's coming up now. So I'm getting excited again. The Walking Dead is over. So now it's time to get excited for my throner. It's massive. not really.
Yeah, totally, man. I'm excited too. It's going to be cool.
Throne heads. So does anybody call us throne heads?
Throne heads. That sounds painful.
If,
I don't know.
If you guys have any ideas, game@podcastica.com for what you call Game of Thrones fans. All right, let's move on to a section we're calling Raven's Calls.
That is awesome. Hey, can I make a couple observations about the Raven mail system, which I became fascinated with while rewatching Indeed. These seasons? First of all, it just seems like it would just the tenuous nature of a bird-based communication system seemed like it would be easy to say, I didn't get that message, right? Like Rob Stark calls all the bannermen. Wouldn't it be pretty easy to say, I never got that. I don't know what happened. That raven, it must have gone into my chicken coop. I don't know what happened.
And you just kind of grab it, cook it up, and have a little extra snack that day.
And then the other thing I was thinking about was, like, if you had to send a mass message, like, say, when Eddard Stark got executed and everybody's, you know, raven mailing everybody else, what if you didn't have the bird width?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Then you call Comcast.
Oh, wow.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, no, that's the bird width. Okay.
All right, let's get into some emails.
Oh, my goodness.
Karen?
Okay, this first one comes from Michael Lopez, who writes, "It has begun," followed by the Mortal Kombat
dun,
theme song.
Dun, 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 dun. I don't really know how it goes, but
finish it.
Nice.
Well,
you can edit that shit in.
Congrats to Mr. Blog, Jason, Gracie Lou, Karen, and David. Can't wait to hear you all battle for the microphone.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of battling, I want this next email. Do you guys mind?
Take it, you cutthroat.
From Drea Age. See, I got it right the first time. Karen. Jason, Karen, Mr. Blog, Gracie, and David. Holy shit, so fucking stoked about this Game of Thrones podcast. It's my second favorite show on TV right now. Bet you can guess my number one. I love your podcast so much and so looking forward to hanging out and talking Game of Thrones. I don't know what your new format is going to be or how much of season one you'll be discussing, but it's sure to be a romp. Top five reason I love Game of Thrones. 5, it looks fucking great. I don't know how much money they pour into this show, but the production is amazing. Feels like genuinely stepping into Middle Earth. I remember watching the first episode years ago and noting the capes they wore had mud caked on the bottom from walking around and riding horses, and I was very impressed with that detail for some reason. And the graphics, me oh my. Number 4, story. It's just fucking good. had me salivating for more from episode one. When the royal twins are banging in the tower and they threw that poor kid off the tower to protect their incestuous secret, I was like, oh my gods, this is going to be a great one. Plus, Boromir. Although he was only there shortly, he was amazing while he lived. Oh, Boromir. Boromir. That's
Sean
Bean. Sean Bean. Mm. Ned. Boromir's from Lord of the Rings.
He dies in everything.
He dies.
Gotcha.
Number three, no one spoiler is safe. Alert. Speaking of, yeah, spoiler alert. Much like our beloved Walking Dead, it seems like anyone can die at any time for any reason. Number two, hot people getting naked and doing the nasty. It's a sexy show, and I love that it's HBO, and they can really go all out. Yeah. Number one is redacted by Jason because it contains spoilers. So I have no clue what actually number one was. There is so much more, but I know you guys will discuss it in detail, and I can't fucking wait. Haiku review for you. Woo. The Starks hold the North. Lannisters always pay debts. Winter is coming.
Sure.
Also,
is.
Yeah. Also, congratulations on your new podcast network. Now, the only problem is, how will I keep up with all the quality content you guys are churning out? Ha ha ha. First world problems, I suppose. Thank you for all the hard work you do just for us listeners. We're lucky and proud to be part of the Podcastica family. That's got a nice ring to it. P.S. Let me know if you're hiring, as I'd love to be one of your podcasts.
Are we hiring?
Well, the pay is zero.
Pretty much. I think actually the pay is negative.
Well, if one of us gets beheaded or something, you know, we might need a stand in. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Bored by a boar.
Thank you for letting me read that one. That was fun. I had to read that one.
This is from Jeffrey Bray. Hey, Jason, I just wanted to say how much I'm looking forward to the new podcast and say congratulations on starting up your new network. All the best with it now and in the future. Thank you, man. I appreciate you following us over here.
Thanks on behalf of Jason.
Robin Young Sanders writes, I'm so excited for the new season to start. Have any of you read the books? Yes, some of us have.
Three out of the five.
Okay, this next one is from Tammy Sue. Curious how you all got into the stories. Watched from the beginning or, like us, caught up on demand and are suffering through your first hiatus. So glad the wait is almost over.
We covered it, but we all watched from the beginning, right?
Very first
all
episode.
Of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
From Kira Chka? I'm going with Chka. Ooh.
Bonk, Chka. Bonk. I love that name.
Ooh, yeah. It would be fun to hear you guys talk about the rumors about Jon Snow and who his real parents might be. Ooh.
We'll get into it.
We'll get into that later.
We will, for sure.
Later season.
Once we get up to the point where everyone's all caught up. Yeah, I want to hear what you guys think of that, too.
I'm very clear on who I believe his parents are.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Heather Hildebrand says, is this podcast going to discuss spoilers from the books, too, or just what is seen in the HBO show? Because, boy, oh, boy, do I have theories about the next book, LOL. Yeah, we're going to have a book talk section, and whoever of us have read the books will talk about how it compares to the show. So, yep.
We'll try to. Like I said, it's been a while, at least. Grace and I. David, I think you've read it so many times that you'll be the one we're going to lean on this. So,
our next Raven Mail comes from someone who will not be listening to the book talk. Nick Poblocki says, hey, no book comparisons. Keep it show-centric. Too many book purists out there already that love to overanalyze and claim their childhood was raped. LOL.
Okay.
We can just keep it in a little section.
Yeah.
Compartmentalize. And I don't totally disagree with Nick because I find myself sometimes saying, well, in the book this happened, in the book that happened. And I think sometimes that can actually diminish my own enjoyment of what is an amazing television show. And I know it can diminish Karen's enjoyment sometimes. So I'm going to try not to do that.
Well, here's the thing that I forgot to mention for people who don't know. The podcast comes in chapters. And if you have a podcast reader that can deal with chapters, then you can just easily skip right over whole segments. So when we have our book talk segment, if you don't like that stuff, you don't have to listen to it. I'm not going to listen to it all the time.
Also,
I don't get spoiled.
I really want to defend book readers in terms of this series, because from what my entire experience has been, this is not the kind of thing where book readers have been that nitpicky. All the book readers I know. No. Really? You see a different thing.
Have you ever been on a Song of Ice and Fire forum?
No, I avoid that for the most part. And from what I know, my experience has been people are pretty much like, no, there's no way you can reproduce these books exactly because they are just too damn huge. And the changes that they've made are generally serving the story very well. So, yes, on the forums, you're going to have that nitpicky sort of thing. But from what I've heard, it's been generally well accepted, the changes that they made on the show. I've been happy with the changes. I don't think there's been anything that's made me go, God damn it, that's all totally wrong, you know?
Well, I found as the show goes on and I remember less about the books, that I care less, too, about any changes that are made. That's but a lot of them make total sense. And, you know, I'm totally fine.
They're taking good care of it, huh?
Yeah. They really are. Yeah. They really, really are.
It's good. Yeah.
This one is from Kristen Hallberg. It would be fun to have a segment on the comparisons with the books, especially as you go through the seasons and certain weddings.
Weddings are so nice. Next.
They are. They're lovely.
This next one comes from Michael Harding, who writes, do you think Eddard Stark is going to die? Ha ha. You should definitely come up with your own sigils. We did.
Well, we did. Yeah. I want to be either the zombie or the lightning bolt. But you gave me...
The lightning bolt is already taken.
Oh.
That's the lightning lord. That is actually Beric Dondarrion, right?
What about a zombie being struck by a lightning
bolt? That sounds awesome. I like it.
That'd be pretty cool.
That is definitely not a house sigil of anybody.
No.
It's not a zombie. It's a white walker.
I'm not sure what qualities that represents, but...
Really good ones.
Okay.
I'm a bottle of wine. So I'm good. I wanted to add like two balls, but you know.
A bottle of wine with two balls.
I won't ask about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I went to UCSC, so I'm a banana slug. I am.
I haven't picked one. I guess I'll be like a little tree frog or something. I like frogs.
Fucking tree frog. What?
Is it taken?
No.
Well, how about a flayed tree frog? Is that better?
That's better. Okay. Incestuous tree frog.
Tough tree frog. A flaming frog. Okay, your turn, Eric.
From Todd Clegg. Welcome to Game of Thrones podcasting. I'll be listening every week. I enjoy The Walking Dead, but I love Game of Thrones.
I can't, you know, it's hard to pick a favorite.
You can't pick a favorite?
Yeah, I don't want to.
No.
I probably could, but...
Me too.
Why should I? All right, that's it for Raven's Calls. Thanks, you guys, for writing in. We'll get a phone number coming up sometime soon.
Actually, that was a lot of really awesome response for such a quick sort of turnaround on that. Thank you guys so much.
Totally, man. That's fantastic. Yeah. Yay. All right, let's move on to book talk. As you said, it's been a while, so just any general things you guys have to say about seasons 1 and 2 as they compare to the books?
I think season 1 is probably easiest. I think that the most obvious thing from the beginning is just the ages of the kids. Everybody has been aged up.
Oh, yeah. Way up.
We didn't want a 13-year-old Daenerys getting married off. That would not be good. But and everybody else has kind of been aged up. And I think the other biggest thing that jumped out of me when I was watching this show is just the inclusion of Roz, the prostitute.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
About
her. Jesus.
Yeah, and I basically she's just someone everybody can chat to. What do they call that? Sex position, I think they called it.
Yeah.
So you know when Roz shows up, there's gonna be a long bit of monologue.
Yeah, there was no scenes in the book with women on women, you know, with Littlefinger sitting back going, now play with her ass. Now I'm gonna sit here and talk about what's going on. That did not happen in the book. Yeah, there is certainly a lot of sex position that did happen, and I can't say
because Andy Samberg wasn't helping write the book.
Well, look, I just can't. I have no complaints about that at all. It's fantastic. If you want to do that more,
I'm shocked.
I don't like the little finger one. I was like, really? I mean, I don't know. I didn't like that one. I thought it was ridiculous.
But she played.
You're just going to talk about your childhood and in front of these two women.
You know, until I saw that Saturday Night Live skit, you know, I was sort of like, yeah, great. An adult HBO show. This is good. And then I saw the skit and I'm like, it totally does seem like there's a 15-year-old boy co-directing this.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
It kind of made me appreciate it less, you know, that it seemed to stick out a bit more.
But I feel like
as gratuitous, I guess.
As the seasons have been rolling on, though, as the show's been rolling on, we're getting a lot less and less of that.
Yeah.
You know,
which makes it stand out even more when you go back and watch.
Yeah, you're like, whoa.
A little bit. But you know, that has so much to do with the world building. And this has such a massive world to attempt to build in a relatively short period of TV time. So
how does that relate to
me? No, I think those
Well, because you have
necessary.
To have people talking and yeah. giving oh, backstory. Yeah. And like one of the ones they did really well, and this was not a monologue, and maybe that's why I liked it better, but when Varys and Littlefinger have that like little chit-chat in front of the Iron Throne, and they're you kind of get a good, really good picture of how manipulative they are and how big of players they actually are in the game. And that was done really well. And you really get a feel for the characters and what their motivations are, I think, a bit.
It's really interesting because in other shows like Walking Dead, for example, maybe they would have an action scene while they're explaining something, you know. But this is one of the few shows where they can just show fucking. And so why not?
Well, and
to make it more interesting.
And specifically,
you know,
in that scene that I referenced, not only do you have some fucking going on, you have then somebody watching the fucking while getting a blowjob, while somebody else is watching that person getting a blowjob while jerking off. So it's like it's
no wonder why I can't remember any of the details.
Exactly. It's like sexception, you know, like inception but sexualized. It's these different layers of it. It's just phenomenal. And HBO yeah. can get away with it, and it's just kind of a neat thing. Now, I think that is a lot less in subsequent seasons. They've pulled away from that. I think they've really mm-hmm. pulled away from the sensationalism of the fact that, look, boobs, to solid storytelling. And in those later seasons, you're getting, again, more of a change in the books where things are being amalgamated, characters are being amalgamated, four characters in the one and this kind of thing, which, you know, as Grace just pointed out, yes, on some forums there's some nitpicking and this kind of thing. I've seen nothing but positive on it, but it's a lot of stuff to handle, and that world building is difficult. This is a weird sort of situation to set up and not just have these, you know, very flippant Lord of the Rings comparisons, because it is not that. It is something very, very different. And I think they did an amazing job in the first two seasons of setting up so many very complicated and difficult things to get a hold of very efficiently and economically. Mm-hmm. They really did it very economically. And yes, maybe there was some weird sex going on while they did it, but are you not entertained?
Well, going on with the sex, one thing that, you know, the whole romantic chest shaving scene between Renly and Loras Tyrell, that was not in the books. And it even wasn't blatantly stated that Renly was gay. There are a lot of hints we get the Knight of Flowers and what is it, like the Rainbow Guard and all that. But
it bums me out. The Rainbow Guard was not.
But really, it was never spelled out. And some readers did miss it or did disagree. But I don't know how they missed it. But, some things like that were underlined a bit, you know. And some of the characters were like Marjorie.
Yeah.
She's much more aggressive in the books, or you see her motivations more. Shay, she's much more aggressive, you know. But
well, there were a lot of differences with Shay, that's for sure. David, what are your thoughts on any of this?
Well, I don't disagree with anything that anyone has said as far as details, but I will say that, to me, most of that stuff is the difference in the media, where in TV you have much less time and you just got to sort of get to the point. I actually think the television show compared to the first two seasons, compared to these novels, is amazingly faithful. Probably more so than any book to TV or movie adaptation I can ever remember seeing.
Agreed.
I mean, the essence of it is right on. And it's probably because the story is so complex, you can't go off at a tangent. It just won't work. It won't hang together.
When I think you just said the key word, the essence of it. You know, and I think that's exactly what the show has really, really captured, is that essence of this series. And I think for that reason, it's forgivable when it deviates from the source material.
Yeah, and they have a pretty good reason usually for what they do, I think, at least in storytelling terms. But I was very skeptical as a fan of the books as to how great this show is going to be at entertaining me as much as those novels did. And they've done a pretty great job. It's just an amazing TV show.
Well, and as I started reading them midway through that first season, I was blown away when I was reading along going, holy crap, they really did this well. You know, I was really surprised about that. And then reading subsequently through the books, and then that, you know, book three was split between series, seasons three and four of the show. I was like, well, that's logical. That makes sense. You know, it's the best way to go about doing it. And then as the timeline starts getting, muddied between three, four, and five, you know, there's a lot of muddying of the timeline, a lot of concurrent things happening. It's, they've done a very good, I'm constantly impressed by how well that they're doing this, between the book and the show.
Yeah. To be a poo-pooer, just to say, just to be a little bit different since we're praising it so much. And honestly, this didn't bother me when I watched it a second time, but the first time it really bothered me that Cersei was much less evil than she is in the books, I felt. Or you could see a softer side. I mean, you have that visit with Catelyn, who's kind of mourning Bran's injury, and Cersei comes in and describes this loss of a black-haired baby and all the emotional toll it took on her and Robert. And, you know, that didn't happen at all in the book. And that really, and watching her watch King Robert, you know, grab other women and all that, and just basically act like a drunken ass right in front of her at parties, you know, that really made me feel a lot more empathy for her. And I didn't want to, you know, I wanted her to be like she was in the books, you know, kind of more like Joffrey, just evil and just doing evil things. But I got over it.
I don't find her to be very sympathetic in either television show or book in any way. However, I mean, if you want to have empathy for a character, she is the daughter of Tywin Lannister. That can't be easy.
There we go. I think that's a great way to end this little...
At a young age.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're still the daughter of Tywin Lannister. That's a great point. That is not an easy thing to live up to. You guys about ready? I think we should close out this book talk. We have plenty of time to talk about the book and how it compares to the show later on. So,
sounds good.
Cool.
All right, that's our show, episode one. Woo! Yay! Woo! Thanks for listening, everybody.
Okay, bye.
If you want to write into us, you can email us at game@podcastica.com. Sorry to cut you off there, Karen.
That's okay. You can check out our websites at gameofmicrophones.com and podcastica.com.
We are also on Twitter at podcastica and on Facebook at facebook.com/podcastica.
In our next episode will be season three coverage.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get beheaded.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.